Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to Dudes on Hockey, episode 43. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude.
Dude, what's up? Number 53, who you got?
53. I've got nothing.
You got nothing? You know, Joe Pavelski was once number 53.
He was.
He was. And there's a guy named Jesse Fibiger, who I have no idea who that is.
I vaguely remember
that. Yeah, that name kind of rings a bell in a weird way.
Jesse Fibiger.
Yeah. So, that's number 53. Well, dude, we got a big interview today.
Dude, this is huge. Our lineup of guests has continued to escalate, and now we have reached the pinnacle.
The pinnacle?
Randy Hahn is joining the Dudes on Hockey podcast today, dude.
So we'll be talking to Randy in just a couple of minutes, but the big news...
Jesse Fibiger, 2002-2003, San Jose Sharks.
That's why we know him.
That's right. Sorry.
So anyway, the big thing coming up this week is the draft coming up on Friday.
Dude.
We'll be asking Randy about that.
I'm so excited.
Yeah, draft is fun, huh?
It's amazing, and it kicks off like 2 weeks of... stellar hockey rumors, maneuvering some major changes around the NHL, not necessarily for our team, but you know, we're going to see some big changes, I think, especially in the Western Conference. Some teams are going to be making some major moves, dude.
Yeah, I mean, there's rumors abound about Doug Wilson moving up. People say he might try to get a top three,
dude.
Overall. I mean,
well,
he'd have to give up so much to get that.
I know we're going to ask Randy about this,
yeah,
and we'll see what he says, but one thing that we've talked about in the past is he does have the movable pieces to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He's got reasonably priced top, you know, prospect type talent in Erhoff, Vlasic, Mahalik. He's got a veteran in Chichu. He's got guys that he could move if he decided that it was going to be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put anything past Doug Wilson on Friday, dude.
Yeah, there's going to be lots of interesting rumors going on about the draft. The Sharks' first pick is number 43 overall, second round. They have no first round pick.
Well, not yet.
Not
yet. Dude, if you had to put a percentage on whether you're or not, you think in your gut that the Sharks are going to get a first round pick on Friday, what's the percentage?
I'm going coin flip, 50%. Hmm. You're going to go over? Under?
I'm going to go up. I'm going to say 68.2%.
Wow. Okay.
And I've run the numbers on this.
Yeah.
But I think that this is a huge priority for him. I think he's had his eye on this for a while. Sharks are going to somehow get a first-round pick. It might not be, you know, in the top five.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be so expensive.
It will, but, you know, if you're looking to make some major roster turnover, that's the way to do it, and to do it on the cheap.
Yeah. But the thing is that the draft is a crapshoot, and I say this all the time, and the funny thing is that there's a Maple Leafs blog of all things called Pension Plan Puppets that did a post today on the draft, and they have some really interesting data, and I'm probably going to post it on our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com, in the next day or two about this. But basically, not a lot of players make, you know, good NHL players. Over 200 games, it's not good. It's under 40%. Even first round draft picks, on average, under 40% of them play over 200 NHL games. So, you know, that could be an argument to not trying to spend a lot in known players or players that we know have already made the NHL to get guys that, for the most part, don't make it.
Now, if you look at the Sharks, excuse me, oh my, if you look at the Sharks' first round history in the last, you know, Fear the Fin had a nice write-up about this.
Mm-hmm. Fearthefin.com.
In 2008, no first round pick. 2007, Couture, Patrecki, they seem to be on the track to be in the NHL the next 2 years. Setoguchi, impact player in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Wishart turned into Dan Boyle, so congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Kaspar,
yeah,
close to being discarded.
Mm-hmm.
Mahalik,
yeah.
Bernier,
yeah.
I mean, impact players
in the
NHL.
They're both playing, yeah, regular.
Mike Morris.
Well, that was mostly due to injury, but yes, he certainly goes in the disappointing pile.
And Marcel Gotch, a 5-year veteran of the NHL.
Yeah.
So you have to say that if Doug Wilson feels like, you know, he's got a beat on somebody in the first round, I would trust him to go after that. It looks like, you know, I mean, I don't know. He's got like a, you know, 75% success rate.
Yeah.
So,
which is actually really, really good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. And there'll be more analysis coming up. Actually, funny trivia. You know who was drafted number 43 overall in 1994? Curtis Brown.
Nice.
Yeah. Other number 43s overall of note, because, you know, pension plan puffets have provided this wonderful data. O.C. Vanenen.
Ooh.
Matt Pettinger.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Those, you know. Now talk about
Jan
impact.
Boulis.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what we're talking about.
That is going to bring the... Can you see Jan Boulis raising the cup in teal?
No.
Maybe in Worcester.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what we're talking about. So, we got the draft coming up. It's going to be fun. And then the week after, we got free agency season. So, lots of interesting shows coming up, Sharks fans. Stay tuned.
Dude, can I ask you one more thing?
Mm.
Do you think that there's going to be a major trade at the draft on Friday? Now, when I say major, I'm talking Heatley. I'm talking LeCavalier.
Gabrick.
The rights to Gabrick. The rights to Bomeister.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a huge Olli Jokinen-type deal that we saw at last year's draft.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely I do.
Now,
with all those players, I think any one of those guys could go.
Okay.
So, that's why the draft is great, because you never really know what's going to happen, and you see all these guys on the floor running around to other tables, talking, and, you know, the TSN guys are getting all a flutter.
Who's the one team that you think might be the most active?
Well, Brian Burke said he wanted to move up, so he could move a lot to try and get Tavares or Hedman. I don't see anybody else really making a push for the top couple picks, but... There's so many rumors about half the teams in the NHL have been rumored to try getting the sweepstakes for J-Bo. You know, it's impossible to speculate.
Right.
So
I'm going to say that, and for no good reason other than I love to speculate.
Of course.
I think Joe Nieuwendyk, like I said last week, he's going to do something a little bit brash, off the wall, a little bit crazy at the draft, trading a major player from their roster in order to get maybe a high pick or some other talent that he can officially put his stamp on as being mine. And as we've seen, Daryl Sutter has officially gone off the deep end by hiring his brother to be the head coach, and now makes five Sutters in the Calgary organization.
Yeah.
So we could see full-blown panic Sutter here in order to make one last run, because, you know, the Sutters are going down on Calgary Titanic together here.
Yeah, or maybe they'll just force all of their draft picks to rename themselves Sutter. Anyway, dude, we got Randy.
Do you think
they'll
make a trade with Carolina to get the missing Sutter? Yep. Isn't he on that team?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Brandon Sutter.
Brandon Sutter.
Yes.
Traded for Ginla.
Yeah, straight up. We'll do whatever it takes. All right, dude, we got Randy Hahn. Here we go. All right, thanks for joining us, Dudes on Hockey. The next guest needs no introduction. If you don't know who this man is, you need to start using the Google or start watching more Sharks telecasts. We have Randy Hahn on the show. Randy, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, Randy, we know you just got back from the awards ceremony in Las Vegas, beautiful Las Vegas. And first of all, did you see anything in Vegas that needed to stay in Vegas?
Well, no, actually, I should clarify. I was there before the awards and didn't actually stay for the awards.
Oh.
But probably one of those situations where the buzz that the NHL got and the visibility that it got probably shouldn't stay in Vegas. It should leave Vegas because people needed to know more about the NHL awards show. And I think they took a significant step in moving the whole thing closer to being more of an event for hockey fans rather than just something that kind of anonymously happens up in Toronto every year.
Randy, you know, this time of year is one of my favorite times of year with the draft and unrestricted free agents. I call it hockey Christmas. But rumors are abounding that Doug Wilson might be trying to find a way to get one of the top three draft picks on Friday. Since you were just in Vegas, you know, what kind of odds would you give this of actually happening?
Oh, boy, I can't even put odds on it. You know, a lot of people think that because you work for the team or you work on the broadcast, you kind of get information like this before anybody else. But I'll be honest with you. When trades are announced, I find out when everybody else finds out.
Those oh, Randy, we're looking kept... we're looking for just brutal speculation out now. Crazy speculation like we do every show. So you, you don't need to act like you know.
I wouldn't expect the next 10 days to go without some changes in the Sharks roster, that's for sure. And depending on the magnitude of those changes, I suppose a first-round draft pick could come the Sharks' way. But to get one of those top three picks, you're talking about probably sending two of the Sharks' top five or six players away for a pick like that. And I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it could.
Well, we just saw Mike Ricci take a spot at the State of the Sharks, and another opening in the Sharks organization is the coaching organization, coaching position just vacated by Todd Richards. Again, just speculation. Do you think Mike Ricci might be in line to take that spot, or maybe even another ex-Shark, Tony Granato?
I wouldn't expect Tony Granato to be in line for a position. As far as Mike Ricci goes, I would say it's a possibility. Mike's just sort of gotten into the off-ice hockey business in the last couple of years in the Sharks organization, and he's learning, he's gotten his feet wet. He has a relationship with Todd McClellan now, as they've worked together for a year, although not, you know, in as close a manner as Todd Richards and Todd McClellan worked together. But, I'm certain that Mike Ricci's name is on the list of possible people that they would like to talk to about the position. I know they're in no rush, and I'm sure Todd McClellan, as the head coach, has his own ideas on who he would like to bring into that role. One thing for somebody like Ricci, it's a tremendous commitment. It's much different than playing, and you have to understand, as a former player, if you're going to go into the coaching realm, what a 24/7, 365 kind of gig it is. Nobody works harder than the trainers and equipment guys and the assistant coaches in the NHL. It is a major commitment. It's a major travel commitment. And after playing a long NHL career, Mike may still be of the mood that he wants to spend more time with his family. He has a young family. It's a combination of, A, the Sharks feeling he's ready, and B, whether or not Mike wants to make that very, very big step into that realm. But we'll have to wait and see. Again, Doug Wilson has said he's not going to rush this, so it might take well into the summer before they make that hire.
We were really excited to see Todd Richards get the opportunity to be a head coach, because I know I felt really bad for him after, Dan Bylsma gets promoted, and he could have been hoisting the Stanley Cup very well against the Detroit Red Wings this offseason. What kind of style do you think he'll bring to the Minnesota Wild? It certainly will be more entertaining than what we've seen in the past, right?
Well, if you look at the past organizations that he's been with, the Pittsburgh Penguins organization, a very successful one, an organization that plays an exciting offensive brand of hockey, but also relies on excellent goaltending. And, his most recent job with the Sharks, I don't think it would be too much of a stretch that the Sharks, while they don't have Malkin or Crosby particularly, they play a go-go, up-tempo type of puck possession game. And I wouldn't be stunned to see Todd Richards take that style to Minnesota. Now, you do have to play to your strengths, and a big question mark there will be whether or not Marian Gaborik returns, and if he doesn't, how they fill that void, either through free agency or trade. So that will determine a lot as well. But, I think the Minnesota Wild, and I think this is a moniker that followed Jacques Lemaire around because of the style that he used in New Jersey, to much success, and to a certain degree of success in Minnesota as well. I mean, he took them to a conference final in, their second or third year in the NHL. So his, quote, defensive, unquote, style certainly served the Wild well on the win-loss column in many of his seasons there, but maybe it isn't as popular a style for the fans. And I would expect Todd Richards, under a new general manager and with a new philosophy in Minnesota, the fans there are probably going to see a more visually entertaining style of hockey, and then whether or not that translates itself into getting back into the playoffs and contending for a cup remains to be seen. But it's going to be a different look, that's for sure.
Well, it's still the off season. We're still in the speculation business, and I know there's a couple of big time free agents coming up here in a couple weeks that Sharks fans have been salivating at. And just as a guy who knows a lot about hockey, knows a lot about the Sharks organization, not as a guy that's speaking for the team, who do you think you might like better? Who do you think might be a better fit for the Sharks team if we shot for the moon and could get either Marian Hossa or Danley Heatley? Which guy do you like better as a player, and which guy do you think would fit better?
Well, I mean, I would probably lean more toward Marian Hossa. I don't know all the details or all the circumstances around Danny Heatley's trade demand out of Ottawa, but it doesn't smell very good, especially when it's the second time that he's asked to be moved. And I'm not sure that's the acquisition you would want to make. But, you know, he's an excellent hockey player. He's a great goal scorer. Although, you know, you get baggage, I think, in that case. Marian Hossa, you know, obviously plays at a very high level. Didn't maybe have a particularly great Stanley Cup final, but, you know, the Penguins knew him well. They were teammates of his the prior year, so they obviously targeted him in trying to shut him down because they felt that he could make a major impact, and it worked. He was virtually held off the scoreboard in the finals, and it helped the Penguins win. But I like him a lot. I think he's really smart. He's one of those players who makes everyone around him better, like a Joe Thornton does, whereas a Heatley perhaps is a little more one-dimensional in that sense. And while he is a great pure goal scorer, and he can put up big numbers, a couple of 50-goal seasons, I'm not sure he's quite as valuable from the sense that he makes those others around him better.
Randy, both Cup finalists had great contributions from their third lines, which we really felt was a stumbling block, and that was brought up at State of the Sharks. It really let the Sharks down as far as general support in the third and fourth line department, and even from the second line. Looking at a lot of these Detroit Red Wings that are going to become available, now one name that we've kind of focused on is Mikael Samuelsson. Can you kind of tell us a little bit about him as a player, and you know, is he someone that might be a good fit?
Well, we used to have him. He's a former San Jose Shark Shark property. I'm trying to think back. I think it was in the trade that got us Nicholas Sundstrom, if I'm correct, but I'd have to go back and research it. And, you know, he never played a game in the NHL for the Sharks, but played for us in the minors. Obviously is a good player. He's a little bit of a streaky player. If you look at his career with Detroit, he's one of those guys who goes on tears and then for long stretches disappears as well. But clearly comes from a championship background with that franchise. And will get a lot of looks from a lot of people in free agency, and that is, of course, unless the Red Wings are able to hang on to them and him, and they're going to be tough pressed with their salary cap issues, and it remains to be seen whether or not they can keep Hossa, but that's starting to look less and less likely. Although Ken Holland performs magic with his deal making, so I wouldn't totally rule out Hossa being back. But yes, you're right, guys like Samuelsson, those are going to be people that the Sharks are going to look at and that many teams will look at. But again, you have to balance how much you're going to spend on those players versus where you're at in the salary cap. The Sharks still have a lot of players that they need to get deals done for, restricted free agents. Then there's the whole issue of their own unrestricted free agents and whether or not they're going to go after any of those. But, you know, you're right. It is Christmas week pretty much in the NHL. We've got the draft coming up, and then July 1st with free agency. And as we saw last year, that's pretty much when everything went down. So it's going to be really interesting. Doug Wilson and his staff have got a lot on their plate. They want to revamp their team to some degree. I don't think they want to totally gut it, but you hit on an area that probably is one of their focuses of attention. The third line or the support role players that I don't think the Sharks got enough out of in their very brief playoff series against Anaheim. So that'll certainly be an area they'll address, and I'm sure Samuelsson is on their radar.
Speaking of those support role players, do you think that Brad Staubitz is ready to make a more significant contribution next year?
Well, I think that he made a significant contribution at times when he came up, and that was prompted mostly due to injury. But don't forget, Jody Shelley is still under contract for one more year, and that's a role that Brad Staubitz fills in Worcester. And I'm not certain that there's a role for two players like that on the roster in San Jose at one time. So you've got a player under contract who is in that role in Jody Shelley, and while Staubitz is a different style, not necessarily a classic heavyweight in the same way, he's a guy that they have to get re-signed right now, too, because he's a restricted free agent. But he'll certainly get an opportunity for in training camp to to push for a job. And, you know, Doug Wilson is one of those coaches, general managers, that, like most, you know, at training camp, everybody gets a chance to make the team. And if somebody like a Brad Staubitz, you know, plays his way onto the team in training camp, then it's the general manager's job to find him a spot, whether or not that involves moving another player in order to make that spot available for Staubitz or anybody else who cracks the lineup, then that's what they're going to do. So, you know, it's a lot of it is in Brad Staubitz's hands, literally, when it comes to training camp.
Interesting. I'm going to switch gears just a bit because we've seen a little bit in the news recently, actually, about the Russian league, the KHL. We saw Kerry Ramo actually sign over there. We saw Ray Emery come back recently. And I was wondering, you know, I'm trying to get a handle on exactly what the KHL is. Do you think it's real NHL caliber competition? Certainly there's been stories about maybe the quality of facilities, but all that stuff aside, is this a league that you think maybe in the next 5 to 10 years could really compete with the NHL on a quality of hockey level?
Well, you know, that's awfully hard for me to say because except for the names of the people who play there, I don't get a chance to watch their games. I'm pretty busy watching the games that I'm watching.
Yeah,
so
plenty of those.
I'm not scouring the internet to find sites that put up KHL games, if you know what I mean. you know, I think that it's a quality of hockey that's good. I don't think it's near the quality of the NHL, and certainly the organizational aspect of the league itself varies widely from franchise to franchise, depending on the wealth of the ownership and the organization of the individual franchise. But, you know, I certainly wouldn't take them lightly or underestimate them. And, you know, as is the case with most of these leagues that form in some manner to be opposition or competition to the NHL, as was the case with the WHA back in the 70s, many of the owners are in it for simply the opportunity to hopefully someday merge with the NHL. They don't really ever believe that they'll stand on their own long-term as a successful, viable option versus the NHL. The WHA folded and four teams came into the NHL. And I would suspect that if the KHL lasts any length of time and the NHL does wish to expand with a European division at some point in the future, and that's certainly been tossed around and talked about, then I think you could quite possibly see one or two of the KHL teams come into the NHL in a European division. And that would be my guess that the long-term strategy of the money behind the KHL is really all about.
Randy, we want to thank you for being on Dudes on Hockey. We got one more question before we let you go. Which current Sharks player do you think might have a shot to be the next Jamie Baker and transition to the TV radio side of hockey, JR aside, because I think we know JR might have a future behind the cameras?
Yeah, JR certainly does. Boy, that's an interesting one. I would say off the top of my head, two guys that would strike me as having the gift of the gab, if you will. One would be Brad Lukowich.
Okay.
Never at a loss for words. And the other would be, and this will surprise some people, but I think he would be excellent, would be Jody Shelley. He connects with people. He is just a terrific guy and comes at everything with a very pensive point of view. He thinks things through before he says them. So those are my two picks, Shelley and Lukowich.
Awesome. Randy Hahn, thank you so much for joining us at Dudes on Hockey, and we really appreciate it. Enjoy your summer.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Dude, I thought that was a pretty good interview.
Great.
Randy Hahn.
Thanks, Randy.
It's a privilege having him on the show. Are we at the big time officially, dude?
Dude, I don't think so, no.
Cloris Leachman? We need Cloris Leachman to be in the big
we
time?
We are the D-list still. But we've had some A-list guests.
We have.
So thanks, Randy, for coming on. And I think he had some really interesting things to say. I think his comments about the KHL really struck me as something that, you know, you look at a lot of these other sports leagues that have had offshoots that have failed, and like the USFL in football.
XFL.
And the XFL, but that nothing came of that, you know, but the USFL became big enough that they, you know, actually had to fold a lot of players into
Flutie.
The league, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, the KHL, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if, you know, Russia and, you know, North America can really get a good deal going.
Right.
But maybe that will actually be the start of World War III. Hockey.
I hope not. Hope not, hope not. Hope the players can play in the Olympics in Russia, because that's going to be a big point of contention in a couple of years.
True.
So, dude, what else is going on in the world of hockey? Let's wrap this thing up.
Dude, well, we touched a little bit about the Sutter Five.
Yeah.
Instead of the Jackson Five, you've got the Sutter Five now rocking and rolling in Calgary. Dude.
I know.
What do you make of this? I don't get it, dude.
It's weird.
Why?
Because Daryl Sutter seems like a pretty smart manager. He doesn't seem like a guy that would just... But, he's a real family kind of guy, wants to bring family in, but... Like we said, he's really hitching his wagon to this, and I mean, it could just look like stupid nepotism if the Flames have trouble this year.
This year? Dude, they've had trouble the last couple years.
Yeah, it's
true. You know, they've had a degree of success, and then they've flamed down.
You can blame everything on Keenan, right? That's the great thing about hiring Keenan.
Sure, yeah, you blame it on Keenan, but then this year when, you know, I'm not knocking, you know, Sutter as a coach.
No, certainly not.
Now, I think he's a good coach. I think it'll be interesting. But, you know, is Daryl Sutter going to really stick with this roster? Is he going to go for a Hail Mary here? Because he's got some major pieces to replace. You know, seems like Camilleri's not coming back. You know, Aucoin is a free agent.
Mm.
And they've got some other big pieces to kind of take a look at. They need another top wing to go on that line. Dude, Patrick Marleau for Dion Phaneuf. I'm saying it again, dude.
You'll never stop.
Putting it out there, dude.
Right,
I'll
dude.
Even give you the rights to Lukáš Kašpar.
Yeah, yeah. One year of Marleau for Phaneuf is not happening.
Dude, but, you know, my whole point in that when I wrote about that on the blog was Marleau's from, that's the closest area to his hometown. So if he wanted to go back home,
mm-hmm.
He could, even though his home is now the Bay Area, as he says, I think he married a girl who's from the Bay Area.
I think so.
If they wanted to move back for some universal health care.
That's right.
They could do that, dude. And I think if Marleau would waive the no trade for anyone, it would be Calgary.
It's a good point. It's a
keep
good
it
point.
In the family, dude. That would be keeping it in the family, dude.
All right. What else we got, dude?
Dude, I know we talked a little bit about this and I wrote about it. And some people on the blog had some interesting things to say. The rumor of Pronger to the Kings for the number 5 pick and mm-hmm. Jack Johnson. If Pronger is really available, why do you think Doug Wilson is not going to pick up the phone? I know you're not a proponent of this, but I would say if he's really out there, make the call.
Yeah. I don't think... Would Murray really make that decision as a new GM to trade a great player within the division? To me, that was one of the big problems with that rumor in the first place. I know that... You know, there's been a couple of isolated trades, you know, Kings to the Stars, we talked about Matthias Nordstrom getting traded and so forth, but that's just something that it just isn't done.
Solani to the Sharks.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Will Murray go there? I don't know if I want the Sharks to go there.
I would say...
One more year on Pronger's contract.
But he's not that old, dude. He's only 35.
Assuming we can re-sign him.
Well, that would be the major conversation that, you know, Doug Wilson's not going to go down the Brian Campbell road.
Yeah.
They have an idea if a player is willing to stay in the area. You know, I guess really he should call Pronger's wife. Are there any?
That's the real phone call he should make before calling Bob Murray. Absolutely.
I'm saying if the price is not completely wild, that you got to really consider that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
man.
Okay.
I mean, I love Pronger. I mean... Pronger's one of those guys you love to hate. He's also one of those guys that I would love to have on the Sharks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not just a Pronger hater, you know, to the detriment of everything else. But, you know, I just worry that we're just going to give up the farm for 1 year of Pronger. He's going to be gone. And then, you know, the whole franchise is going to be disarray because we trade all our prospects and good young players for that guy.
Speaking of defensemen, how about signing an impact guy like Chris Chelios?
Impact how? Impact on what?
Well... I think that if you have Chelios on the team, that means that Vlasic can actually get Social Security.
Yeah, that's right. Or they could do some sort of like immigration thing with Vlasic, you know, posing as his son. Yeah.
Is Chelly going to play next year? Or is he out?
I think he's done.
You think so?
He's 47 years old. Dude.
The thing with me is it's not like he demonstrated this year that he can actually make an impact on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is he a great influence in the locker room? Probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, if you're the Blackhawks, would you consider bringing him in as an assistant coach?
That's the obvious thing, right?
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got to go home.
Yeah.
I think the only team that really he might turn up on is the Chicago Blackhawks as their maybe a token year seventh defenseman 30 games, trot him out there, play him 3 minutes, and then he retires at the end of the year.
Or to drop another blog name, since we've dropped so many already this show. Battle of California had a thing. Him going to the Kings. He's got a home in Malibu, right? Kings.
Sure. Great. That's great. You know, because he's ready to log, you know, 10 plus minutes. Yeah. That'd be a waste. And, you know, we joked about him coming to the Sharks. You know, maybe JR raised a ruckus with Babcock so that, you know, now Chelly's going to come out here. You know, that's another major question that we haven't talked about in weeks is JR.
Yeah. Well, we'll just have to, you know, figure it out. He hasn't said anything yet, so we'll just
Pretty mum.
Dude, final thing. We got select a seat tonight, so what's the strategy?
I think the strategy is get low.
Okay, get
low. All right.
Stay low.
Use your speed. Use your elbows.
Okay.
And when in doubt, cry and pretend that you have a terminal illness.
Okay.
And if someone's, you know, you're arguing with someone over a seat, you go, oh, you know, I have...
The other seat's for my mom, and she's not well.
My mom is not well, and I need this seat, and then I'll come in a wig.
Right.
You're like, Michael,
yeah.
Did you get my dying wish?
It'll be like a Three's Company episode.
Yeah, and then Jack Tripper will show up and fall down the stairs.
Dude, let me write this down. I gotta write this down.
And then you'll end up making out with Chrissy.
This sounds like a good plan all around, I gotta say.
This is a way to go, dude.
All right, dude. That does it for this week's Dudes on Hockey. Make sure to check out our blog, sharks.hockeyanalysis.com. And we'll check you out again next week, same time, same place.
Sharks will get a number one cap.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.